Welcome back to Talking Bridge Media's After Dark. Entertainment news and reviews by fans for fans. It's Friday night, so you know what that means. We're doing all things horror. I'm your host, Tyler Coffey, and joining me today is the lovely, beautiful, and talented Issa Medina. And also, Amy Frim.
Well, see, I knew that was coming. I was like, wait, I know I'm not going to be the one that's considered lovely and all that.
You thought you were lovely, beautiful, and talented?
I knew it wasn't about me when you said talented. I was like, there we go. Guys, let us know. I've been having some technical difficulties over here with the sound and stuff. If you hear like double the noise, or if you hear like some kind of feedback or anything, let me know in the live chat. Guys, thanks for joining us for another episode of Talking Through the Media's After Dark. You know what? It's after dark, so let me calm down. Let me bring it down. I was at, you know, at a 7. I'm going to bring it down to a 5. Here we go. Okay. Talking Through the Media's After Dark. What is that thing that people do online when they talk very low? What's that called again?
ASMR? Oh, no, ASMR. I don't know.
Yeah, freaky is what I call it. Freaky. we got some things we're gonna talk about in the world of horror. We have our main host via satellite there, Tyler. She's going to guide us in this ship. So, I'll get started on the topics. But Tyler, Miss Tyre Dye herself, she is the one that's running this ship. So when she tells us to shut up, I'll say how high. All right.
And, we'll see if that's true.
And it's is here to make sure that we don't get into too many fist fights. That's what we're gonna do. All right,
break it up.
With all that stuff out the way, let's get right into it. So the first topic of the night, I think it was some news that came in regards to Truth or Dare. You guys remember when the Truth or Dare? Did you guys, any of you guys, watch that movie, Truth or Dare?
I remember it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's the news. Blumhouse. Why Blumhouse scrapped a Truth or Dare meta sequel with Tyler Posey and Lucy Hale at the last minute. They
Lucy Hale.
Lucy Hale. I said Hale.
Hello.
Gotta correct you from a girl.
Yeah. Tyler. Yeah. Instead of Tyler Cossey, it's Tyler Posse and Lucy Lucy Hale. But yeah, there's not going to be a Truth or Dare sequel. And I was thinking, well, why would there be? But then I looked up the numbers that movie made money. I didn't think it did, but it did. It made almost $100 million on a very small budget.
Yeah, I remember it being pretty good. And Tyler Posey or Posse, however you say it, he's someone I would want to see. I don't remember if he was in the first one, but I would have been interested in seeing him in the second one. Did y'all watch the movie?
I saw it in theaters. No, go ahead, Itzy.
I didn't see it, but I thought he was in the first one. No?
He's in some horror movies. I don't know if it was in this one, though. Kind of scrapping it is because the way the first one ended, spoiler alert, I'm going to tell you how it ends. Basically, the premise is you have to, like, dare somebody or something, and the girls who are at the end, Lucy Hale, she goes on live and she dares all of her followers.
Yeah.
So basically, it would have to go through all of her followers who saw it until it gets back to her. Eventually, it's going to come back.
Right.
But she bought herself a shit ton of time. And I was thinking, how would they do a sequel? I would love to see like what they came up with for that.
Well,
so
when I read this article, it was interesting what the director said. He said that he didn't want to do a situation where the sequel was not really connected with the original and that it would just focus on another group of people. He said he didn't want to do that. He wanted to keep it to the original people. But just like you said, you said you didn't see the original? You did?
I didn't, but I read the article.
The premise of it was, the demon, I guess, or the monster puts you in this Truth or Dare game, and it goes into like a rotation. Like, if let's say there's 8 people, then it goes, you know, in order, it goes around the circle playing Truth or Dare. You have to pick one Because if the monster picks for you, it doesn't work out for you. And but the monster makes you do this crazy, dangerous things that you have to do, or if you refuse, you die. So if it comes to you and you break the rules, you know, you die. So just like Tyler said, their master plan at the end was to put it online and say truth or dare to everyone online. That way the chances of it coming back around to the original people would be a long, long time, because it went viral and went to millions of people.
I don't know how I saw the ending, but I saw the ending at some point.
Yeah.
Years ago. It's already kind
of. Somebody spoiled the ending for you online. So I was thinking, that would make sense for the movie to end with, or a sequel to begin with, a new group of people. Like, I wouldn't want it to go back to the original people. I don't know. That's just me. But what about you, Tyler? Do you agree or disagree with that?
No, I would like to see how they played it once it did finally come back to them. Or maybe what happened during the time. Like, do you think there was like, I don't know, like, was there like mass, like, killings all at once all over America? I would like to see what happened. Like, not necessarily like a different group, but I would like to see what happened in the world after they basically unleashed a demon to the world.
Like, did they really go through like a million people and then it finally came back around?
Yeah, like, are we coming back into the part two and half the world's dead?
Right.
No, everyone would be dead at that point.
You know what? You know what I think worked again, even though I guess it was a financial success, but you know what I think took a huge shit on that movie was when Smile came out, because the Truth or Dare demon had the same kind of like Smile, but Smile did a way better job at marketing, and I think the delivery of the Smile movie was, and I think the Smile movie was better received because it's getting their sequel. But I don't know. Yeah. I just felt like the Smile demon or whatever. I felt like one of those situations where it was like two different movies that almost felt like the same kind of plot. And in normal situations, the movie that came out first would be more successful than the one that came out second. But in this situation, Smile, that came out after Truth or Dare, did better than Truth or Dare. If I'm remembering that correctly, Smile came out after Truth or Dare, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it did better. Usually in those situations, like Olympus Has Fallen and that other movie with Jamie Foxx and Channing Tatum. It was a similar movie, just like Olympus Has Fallen. They came out, there was almost the same exact plot, and Olympus Has Fallen came out first, and it was the more successful movie. Usually when that happens, when two different movies come out that with the same plot, the one that comes out first does better. But in this situation, I thought Smile was a way better movie than Truth or Dare. I really didn't like Truth or Dare. That was just me. But you guys like that movie? What the hell's wrong with you?
I enjoyed it. I also like Smile better too.
The best part of that movie was when the demon was like Truth or Dare, and he's what was that? We were playing pool, and the demon made the girl like stand up on the top of a table and fall down and forced her to hit her head at the corner of the table. You remember that?
I don't remember.
Oh yeah, that yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me was the best part of the movie. I thought that was the best. I don't know. That's just me. Is the sound okay? Because I'm getting a message that Tyler's sound tiny. What is that?
Teeny.
Is that what that says? Hold on.
Tyler sounds
tiny.
Somebody said that. I was like, what is that?
Can somebody clarify, please? What do I sound like?
Yeah, you do sound like pixelated. You sound like you're doing an auto-tunes rap song or some shit.
I hear like echo.
Wait, really?
You sound like T-Pain.
No, I don't hear that. I hear like echo.
Does
but
it sound better?
She's in the Matrix. Let's see. Say it
again. Is this one any better?
It sounds the same. Different.
A little bit. Hear you.
I mean, muting and unmuting probably won't fix it, but it's not bad.
I could just hear
it. It was a little pixelated, but it's fine. It's fine. I can still hear you.
What about this one? I have three different mics. What about this one?
You're fine. It's
good. I like both. I mean, I'm good with both of them.
Don't be self-conscious. Okay. It'd be funny if we were just fucking with her. Like it just like I sent that message.
No.
No. It's fine. Okay. No, I can. You're coming in loud and clear. You're fine. I would tell you if that sound was bad. But so guys, just cover your ears and just try not to listen to Tyler too much when she talks.
Great.
I mean, it's not bad. I mean, it's just trash. It's not bad, but it's just trash. But from this came in from, let me pull it up real quick. This came in from Variety. See if I can pull that. See. Let's see, the 2018 Blumhouse Chiller Truth or Dare was a profitable hit. I was surprised at that, for the company, making over $95 million worldwide on a $3.5 million budget. See that? Okay, I thought it was a $30 million. Okay, I read that wrong. So it was a $3 million budget, and it made $95 million. Oh yeah. Okay. So then why wouldn't it make a sequel? That's almost 100 times its money. It's a super hit. The film about a demon named Kalux that is activated by the tutelar party game, starring a buzzy cast, full of young talent, including Teen Wolf lead Tyler Posey, Pretty Little Liars star Lucy Hale, Violet Bean, Landon Liborian, and Sam Lerner, who all bonded off-screen during filming. The camaraderie led to a sequel idea that could have been one of Blumhouse's most innovative movies. And then he continues on. Wait, let me scroll down a little faster. He said, we actually wrote a Truth or Dare sequel. He said, in the first one, there was about 9 characters and 7 of them died. I didn't want to do a Final Destination style sequel of Truth or Dare, and it happened, and it all happened again to a different group of people. It just seemed kind of boring to me. He wanted to, I guess, bring it back to the same group of people, because having it start with a different group of people would have been boring to him. But I don't see how, logically, I don't see how it could come back to the same group of people, because unless the demon decided it, like, no, fuck this, this is going to take too long, I'm coming back to the original people. Unless, I mean, that's the only way I could see that making sense, but I don't know. Am I alone in that? I don't know.
Well, I just think the other way to spin it is see the mayhem that it caused in the world, and maybe they have some guilt or something. I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, unless the demon itself wanted it, I don't know. I don't. Me personally, I don't give a damn about this movie. I did not enjoy it. I'm surprised you guys like this movie. I didn't like it all that much. But I'm not as into horror as you guys are. I mean, I know your whole life, your like Tyler's life is a horror movie.
Thank you.
I can't even insult her, but like, here comes, oh Jesus, yeah, never ends. It never ends. I don't know, guys. Let us know what you guys think. Are you interested in a Truth or Dare sequel? Were you into this movie at all? Like, are you like me? Are you normal like me? It was like, no, Smile was better. I can't wait for Smile 2. Let us know in the comments below, and let's just, as always, guys, let's keep talking. All right, moving on. From The Hollywood Reporter, Josh Brolin is in talks to star in Zach Cregger's horror thriller called Weapons. I've never even heard of this.
Me either.
Wait, the movie Weapons?
It's a movie called Weapons. That's from the director who brought us. Oh damn it! What was that movie? What was the name of that movie? I'm gonna have to pull it up. Because I remember bringing Taylor. I mean, I'm not Taylor. I remember bringing Tabitha to see it. Hold on. I have it. I have it here. Hold on. That Barbarian. Okay. Did you guys see Barbarian?
Yes.
Yeah. The maker of Barbarian, Zach Cregger, he is working on a new movie called Weapons, and Josh Brolin is going to be in it. I had an advanced screening to see Barbarian. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't watch the trailers. I didn't know anything, but I decided to go see the screening. I took Joy, me and Joy went, and Tabitha, who does not like horror movies, went with us. And since we didn't know what the movie was about, she when it started really getting into the the horror.
That's a hard one for her to watch.
She was freaking the hell out. It was so bad. It was funny as hell. I sat right next to her. She hated me. Because I was like, I didn't know.
Even for somebody who did see the trailer to see what happened in that movie. And so for her to see it completely like going in blind.
Going in blind, seeing Barbarian. Because I thought the movie was going to be about like a sketchy Airbnb guy who's probably like hunting his, you know, customers or victims or something like that.
Yeah,
I thought that's what it was going to be about. I had no idea. Itzy, did you see Barbarian? Watch this movie. This movie, honestly, that movie was like three different movies in one. The way it began, the middle was a totally different movie. The end was a totally different movie. It was so crazy.
It really was.
The stages, the act one, act two, and act three were like almost three different plots, but it was all the same movie. Basically a woman who was like in town for something, and she was, she had like an Airbnb, and there was like a mix up. There was already a man in the room, the house that she was supposed to be in. So I'm thinking it was going to be like an issue with that guy maybe that was a setup. Like maybe he was going to harm her or, you know, be a serial killer or something like that. But what actually happens in this Airbnb situation, you would not wear it. Like, definitely watch that movie if you get a chance.
Yeah, you really should. Really, you don't expect it at all.
Yeah, and I was saying what were you saying, Tyler? You said, but for
this is funny.
I was not expecting it. That way she couldn't. Yeah, she couldn't blame me for what actually went through, because I went in blind too. Barbarian follow up, and shot last year, but the dual writers and actors strike caused the movie to push into a fall 2023 start of production. That caused a conflict with the projection's previous star, Pedro Pascal. Pedro Pascal was supposed to be in it, whose schedule ran up against the Fantastic Four, which is shooting this summer. So Pedro Pascal was supposed to be in this and is no longer in it. Kreger wrote the top secret script for Weapons, which is described as an interrelated multi-history horror epic that tonally is in the vein of Magnolia, the 1999 actor crammed showcase from filmmaker Paul Thomas Anderson. I know what Magnolia is, but I never saw Magnolia. The project is also a reunion of Barbarian production team. Kreger is producing along with Roy Lee, Vertigo. If a deal makes it, it will be a coup for the production. Brolin is known to be choosy about the projects and directions. And while he has done sci-fi and comics movies, he has never done a horror. This will be Brolin's first time doing a horror movie. And I heard that about Brolin. I heard he's very, very picky on the script. So there's got to be something nice about this script for Josh Brolin to take it. I don't know.
Interesting.
Is it though? While I pull this up, I mean, are you guys looking forward to this? To this movie?
I am, for sure.
Yeah.
I love Beetlejuice.
Say it again.
I cosplayed Beetlejuice this summer. I cosplayed Beetlejuice for a horror con. I love that. I love horror. I love it. So good.
So, reason why it's coming back after 30 years. Okay, so if there's this comes from Collider. If there's one thing that's overflowing from the catalyst of Hollywood, it's reboots, reimaginings, and sequels. From the box office, Top Gun Maverick to the swift comeback and even swift downfall of Scream franchise, studios are aware that an almost surefire way to deposit money in the bank is through a story that's already known and loved by audiences. While not every series needs another title added to its sequence, as was made abundantly clear through the last year's Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, which was trash, there's one project that we can say with a high level of certainty will be a gargantuan hit: Tim Burton's Beetlejuice. speaking with Vanity Fair, Jenna Ortega, one of the newcomers in a sea of familiar faces, reveals why she thought the follow-up had finally come to fruition after more than 30 years. She continues on. At 21, Ortega wasn't even born when Beetlejuice came out in 1988. Yet she felt she still felt the that came in from Jenna Ortega. You guys, who disagree? Agree? Disagree?
I agree.
I'll start with Itzy. What'd you say?
No, I totally agree because I mean, it's been so long that some of the kids now, whether they haven't heard about it or they just don't know anything about it, like it's good to be introduced to something that was such a classic to the older generation like us. And then maybe twist it around, make it a little better. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you say, Zola?
Nothing. I was just pretty much agreeing, and I think it's one of the movies that ages really well. So you can watch it in 1988, or you can watch it in 2024, and still be completely entertained because it's just a good story. So having a new one come out now, so far later, people are going to watch the first one for the first time, and then also get a new one with like a new spin on it, and with a really, really popular actress right now. So
I agree. Yeah. You guys just made me realize that I don't think I've ever showed my kids Beetlejuice. I feel like my kids are probably just like me. When I was growing up, I didn't want to watch any movie that was older than me, but I'm going to, but because our generation was the when technology got a little bit better. Oh. I think my kids would like Beetlejuice. I think when they come back this weekend, when they come over here this weekend, I'm gonna show movies. I'm like, anybody got their favorite Beetlejuice quote? What's your favorite Beetlejuice quote, Itzy?
It's showtime.
It's showtime. Ty, what you got?
It's not really a quote, but I just thought the book was so cute, like A User's Guide to the Recently Deceased or something.
Oh yeah.
I always thought that was so cute. When I was little, I thought that was a real book, and I wanted it so bad.
I know, me too. I was like, where did I get that book?
I want to know how to die.
Like, I want to know how to die.
Where are the tips in that?
What?
There's tips in there.
Like, death is really scary. So I was like, oh my God, there's a guide to like help me. Then I want to know what happens when you die. And I thought it was real.
Yeah.
That's too funny. Hold on. Hold on, guys. Okay, the screen is gonna go blank for a second because I'm gonna copy and paste something real quick. But so if you guys see this, it's not your end, it's me. I'm doing this on purpose because I see comments coming in and I want to make sure that I put them up. So give me a second. I'm just gonna do a copy paste thing real fast and I'm back. All right, just want to make sure to do something real quick. Hopefully this works. All right. Yeah, because Texas Ranger says, careful, don't say Beetlejuice too many times. What happened?
Too late.
me and Tyler thought, we said the last time, we said that was brilliant. I thought it was going to be called Beetlejuice 2, but the fact that they called it Beetlejuice, I was like,
I know. I love that. I love
brilliant. That. I was like, yeah. Of course, the Beetlejuice trilogy.
And it makes you just want to say the whole thing, and you don't stop at the second Beetlejuice. You just don't. Tyler says, monolith.
All right. Real fast, what was Monolith about? And who starred in it? Real fast, real quick.
The girl from Evil Dead Rise starred in it. Sorry, I can't remember her name.
Lily Sullivan.
And just real quick, hold on. Let me see if I can pull it up. Monolith, the plot. So Monolith was, okay, while traveling to salvage her career, a disgraced journalist begins investigating a strange conspiracy theory. However, as the trial leads uncomfortably close to home, she's left to grapple with the lies at the heart of her own story. That's the synopsis that's read here on Google. That's not, so a disgraced podcaster starts to investigate a story that has to do with some kind of like these black bricks that are popping up all over the world that people are getting and having strange things happen to them. So she calls these people and she investigates where these bricks are, where they're coming from, and why people are experiencing these phenomena. And then as she's investigating these items, things start to get weird for her. That's basically the plot of the movie. So I'll start with Tyler. What was your thoughts on this movie? Be as
I don't have words. And then the spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, mute your speakers or something for 5 seconds. But in the end, the outcome we get is there's an alien, and I don't get the ending. I don't get it. I didn't like it. Well, next, someone else.
So it's okay, so basically, what I got from this movie reminded me, or what they were trying to do with this movie reminded me of a Ryan Reynolds movie called Buried. I don't know if you guys ever seen Buried.
I have, yeah.
It was a movie, a contractor who was working overseas in Iraq was in a convoy and got attacked, and then he got captured by one of the Iraqi locals, and he got buried alive. He was buried alive in a grave and given a cell phone. And when he woke up, he realized that he was buried. He had the phone to call out. The phone number that was only programmed into the phone was to the guy who buried him. And the guy was like, basically what the premise was, give me money. Find a way to give me money and I'll let you out. And the whole movie was only focused on Ryan Reynolds. It was just him in the box. So imagine watching a whole movie of being claustrophobic in a box, stuck with Ryan Reynolds, right? You would think that'd be boring as hell, but the way they did it, they made it so compelling. They made it so intriguing and the tension behind it. I was captivated. I mean, me personally, I was more so. I watched that movie for the first time.
It felt like there was so much missing. I didn't even finish watching it, and I was just like, I hope it gets better. But then you were like, don't even.
She's like, I hope it gets better. She's like, I hope it gets better. Click.
And you were like, don't even bother. It did.
Here's the problem, and I remember texting Tyler after I finished it. It did get better in the last 5 minutes of the movie.
I heard somebody say the last 15 minutes was like
what the whole movie should have been.
The whole movie, yeah.
Or at least the second. They wasted so much time on her investigation, which was so redundant. Let me call this person and hear their weird story with these bricks. Oh, okay, that was weird. Now let me call this other guy. Oh, did you have a weird situation with these bricks? Oh, okay, let me call this. I'm like, how many people you got to call before you believe that these bricks are fucking weird? So
I heard it's really slow paced, and if you're not into that type of movie, then it's not going to be for you. And I was like, that was definitely not for me.
I could tell that what they were trying to do, they were trying to make it like a psychological, weird, like kind of a movie that makes you go, oh my God, what's this all about? But after a while, it's like, you don't even care. Even when you see the damn brick, you're like, that's it? That's
cool. I didn't even see the brick.
You got, go back, watch the movie if you still have it.
I do, but I don't think I want to.
No, go back, fast forward it all the way to the last 15 minutes.
I'll do it. I'm going to do that.
Fast forward to the last 20 or 15 minutes. Okay. When the brick make a 15 minutes. Okay. When the brick make its first appearance, because a target, we have to give her one of these bricks because she knows too much or she's figuring too much out. And I'm like, okay, that's a good premise. Okay. That's cool. But the way they executed it was just so boring. Mm-hmm. And I was like that last 5 minutes came. I was like, oh shit. Okay. All right. Fight. And I was like, oh, that's it. Credits. Aw.
Yeah,
it's like the whole movie could have been an email, and then the last 5 minutes they could have.
Yes. I also said that the fact that the camera was only focused on one actor was fine, but when the only time it cut away from her was when she was listening to people's stories on how they got exposed to the brick or some weird phenomenon that happened when the brick showed up. Like one person talked about how his father became possessed by it and he started acting weird and it was a birthday and he was looking at the birthday cake and he was acting weird ever since that birthday or whatever. And during the flashback, They only showed a fucking cake with candles. That's it. No people.
Yeah.
Just a cake. A camera slowly panning into a cake as he's telling his story. I'm like,
yeah.
The flashbacks could have showed people. I'm like, yeah. Show something. Another person was talking about a weird shit that was happening in her office. And then when we see the office, it's just papers blowing in the wind. I'm like, really? Cake and wind? What the fuck is this?
Yeah, it was silly.
It was the silliest shit. I'm like, this is the same woman that was kicking so much ass what's the movie called? Extras to do this? No, because extras to do this? No, because that would cost extra.
What year was this film? Because I heard it was filmed in 2022 or 2021.
It's possible. I don't know. It's movie. A lot of movies do get shelved for a long time and then released later.
I heard somebody say that it felt like a pandemic movie because like literally there was like nobody around at all, mm-hmm. and they were like, "Was it filmed during the pandemic?" Because there was
cold. Ooh, okay, Tyler. If this movie would have came out in the middle of the pandemic, do you think you would have had a better time with it?
No.
I tried.
I think I would have gave it a shot. I think I would have gave it a shot, but now it's too late.
Or if the premise was about a pandemic or something like that, maybe that would have been better.
But yeah.
I think if it would have came out in 2021, maybe like at the, something like not 2021, yeah, 2021, like at the tail end of the pandemic or in the middle of the pandemic, I think if they would have marketed it like that, the fact she's alone, nobody's around her, things like, and we were all feeling that, it might have boosted some interest in it, and we were all forced to watch movies from home anyway.
Yeah. I think so too.
I think that would have been. I think it would have did better for that movie. But Tyler was like, "No, fuck that. Trash is trash."
I feel like the pandemic. It lost the opportunity.
1.5.
Yeah. And you watched the whole thing off.
I gave it a 1.5 too, because based on the like that last, I gave it that 0.5 for the potential of that last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's where that 0.5 came from. But no, it was a waste of time. Joy was sitting right next to me as I watched it, and I was gonna watch it by myself, but she just happened to sit next to me, and we watched it. And after 5 minutes, all of a sudden her phone came out. She was like, all of a sudden I could hear TikTok going off in the background.
Like, no. I was struggling. I couldn't focus.
On this, yeah, it was killing me how bad it was getting. It just kept getting progressively worse. Let me see if this works. Hold on 1 second. Nope, it's still not working. There we go. USA Rocks 3.5. I am going to have to catch the replay of the podcast. The live stream keeps dropping.
What?
Do you guys see that? Is that happening?
Something happening here too, like it would freeze. I don't know if you noticed.
I haven't really noticed.
Okay, well, if it keeps dropping, I apologize for that. I'll luckily whenever I'm recording it as well, the recording will catch everything, even if the stream is dropping. I'll figure out what's going on with it, and hopefully we'll fix it next time. So sorry about that, guys. But thanks for letting me know.
Side note, really quickly, I have to get out of here.
Like horror movies,
right?
I mean, I was more into like the classic ones back in the day, and then I kind of just stopped watching.
Oh, like The Wizard of Oz? Yeah, okay.
The Wizard of Oz is not a horror movie.
Are you serious?
Wait,
I hit you, my pretty, in that fucking door.
Okay, not gory, but horry.
But the people under the stairs, like it was about a black guy and his, I think it was his nephew, who they lived in the hood in the project. I think they wanted to rob their landlords or something like that. They went to the suburbs where their landlords lived or something like that, and I think they were gonna rob them. And it turns out that these guys had a fucking house of horror in there. It was when they got caught. The little boy, like the 12 or 13 year old boy who was in the house with them, He escaped, but he escaped within the house, and he was like crawling between the walls and stuff. And there was like a whole bunch of people and other kidnapped victims who've been living in the basement and stuff throughout this house. And it's a brother and sister couple who like kidnap people, murder people. They hate black people. they're like landlords, they're evil landlords. They kidnap white children to like, I guess to like raise families or something like that. It's like they just kidnap victims, and they're totally racist as well. Like it was one of their victims was a person who they were trying to raise as a son, but whenever these kidnap victims don't live up, because you guys do know. I thought that these people were like a couple. I don't know if you can see them displayed. Like, here's one of the scenes where the boy gets caught. And I don't know I forgot his name, but he was in a lot of movies back in the 90s. He was in a lot of things. I think he played Michael Jackson one time. I don't know. But this boy was in a lot of movies back in the day. And this was one of the movies that really freaked me out. And his name was Fool. Like, his uncle called him, like how people go, "What's up, Fool?" Like, that was his name, Fool. When his uncle got, when they got caught by the guy with the gun, I remember that scene where he was getting shot because, you know, he's a home intruder. And he goes, "Run, Fool!" And I guess he thought he was talking to him. Like, "You hear what he called me, Ma?" Like, "Yeah, he called you a fool." No, he was talking to his nephew to get out of there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was one of those scenes. That was the scene that stuck with me. I don't know why, but that was the scene that stuck to me. Him screaming out to his nephew, "Run, Fool, run, Fool." And the guy thought he was talking. It was weird. But yeah, a lot of slurs, N-words and stuff like that from the guy with the gun. Like it was a nightmare scenario for a little 11, 12 year old me watching this movie. I'm like, I am never breaking into a white man's house. that movie scared me straight.
What year did this movie come out?
1991.
Oh, 91. Okay.
Yeah, convinced me that they weren't doing some freaky stuff. But I don't know. The People Under the Stairs. I'm looking forward to watching that. But did you know that they're doing a remake of it?
Oh no, that's exciting, but it's actually kind of scary because I can't imagine making a movie where they have that kind of language and like dynamic in 2024. I'm surprised they're brave enough to do that.
You know what I imagine? I imagine like if they do a remake to this, it's going to be during the pandemic. I don't know why, but I feel like that would be the premise of it. Like during the pandemic, these people decide to break into their landlord's house or their neighbor's house or something like that. And I don't know. I feel like that's like the cause a lot of weird crimes were happening. I know crime went down during the pandemic, but people started getting weird during that mm-hmm. time. But yeah, this came in from Fangoria, The People Under the Stairs being remade by Jordan Peele's Monkey Paw production.
Oh, interesting.
The remake of Wes Craven's bizarre 1991 horror film will be written by Ezra Clayton Daniels. Here is an interesting bit of news. According to the new reports over at Deadline, Jordan Peele's Monkey Paw Productions is mounting a remake of Wes Craven's intensely weird 1991 home invasion horror, The People Under the Stairs. Peele will produce alongside Wynn Rosenfeld, and the company has lined up Ezra Clayton Daniels, the TV show Doom Patrol and Night Sky, to write the screenplay. Jordan
on stage, Interview with the Vampire. So if you remember an Interview with the Vampire, there's a scene where it's a group of vampires, but they're pretending to be humans, putting on a play, and the play is them as vampires. So it's vampires pretending to be humans, pretending to be vampires.
Yeah.
And in the play,
I said very, very meta, yeah.
Very. And in the play, they're doing a human sacrifice. And of course, the whole audience thinks that it's part of the play.
Right.
And that the human sacrifice is an actress. In the reality, it's a real human sacrifice. And they're watching this girl get basically eaten. And everybody's clapping, like, "What a good job!"
You know, yeah, and she pleading, like, "Oh my, this is real." Like, what? And one woman in the audience even went to screamed out at Antonio Banderas, "Oh, let me be next. I adore you. You wait your turn." Like some shit. Like, yeah. Like a weirdo. It's like, I was brilliant.
Yeah. It was brilliant. It really was. It's one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie. But the reason she's getting the Tits and Terror Award is because during the process, she was stripped completely naked. So when you think about it, not only is she getting eaten alive and yelling to the audience, "Help me, help me." And nobody helps her because they all think she's acting. And she's butt naked doing it in front of the whole audience.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it as a child, a very young child. And, you know, and she did a really good job making us the viewers at home believe that she was, you know, really getting eaten.
Yeah.
And also the viewers on the stage.
In terror. Tits in terror. But thanks to Tyler brilliantly coming up with a new segment because we have to be an equal opportunity, you know, show. We can't just focus on the tits. She said 2 weeks ago, Tyler was like, "Wouldn't it be cool if we did dicks in terror?"
It
was brilliant. And then I said, you know what? But the fucked up thing about it is because of how the norm or whatever you want to call it was, obviously there's going to be a plethora of examples for tits in terror, but there wouldn't be that many examples of dicks in terror, like men stripped down and being put in horror movies. But what I said, so let's, on top of dicks in terror, let's also use the other definition of dicks, of dudes as being a total asshole in a horror movie. I said, because there's plenty of those opportunities, and Tyler came up with the perfect example for that one. So what's the next one? For the debut of Dicks in Terror, what do we have?
We have Mel from Sleepaway Camp. Mel was such a freaking dick the whole movie. I hated him more than I hated the killer. I was like, "Mel, just go get a life somewhere. Like, stop messing with Ricky, okay? We loved Ricky, and Mel just knew that Ricky was the killer, and he was just a total dick to him. And you don't pick on Ricky, because Ricky is that dude. So, yeah, he's our friend.
Old. I'm like, you can see the strings. You can see how it was done. They did a very good job on that scene. That kill scene was awesome. So I'll give Mel that. He was a dick, but his death scene was flawless. One of the best I've seen. From that era, because usually those movies are cheesy, but that kill scene, perfect. I don't know. I still can't figure out how they did it, and I don't want to know. It looked real. Mel really died.
The best part was the whole movie. He thought the killer was Ricky, and then when he gets shot before he dies, he's like, "You like,"
and then bam, arrow in the neck. It was perfect. So yeah, I'm glad I watched it. It was great. I did record myself. I did a first time watching, but I don't think I'm gonna. I don't like the way it filmed, so I'm not gonna debut it. So I don't know. That was it. That was our first episode of Dicks in Terror. All right, there we go. All right, so we're about 1 minute away from when Tyler has to get out of here. So that's the show, guys. I appreciate you guys for sticking with us for another episode of Talking Through the Media's After Dark. I am Chris Fagan. If you want to reach out to me and send us your thoughts, your questions, comments, concerns, you can reach out to me at Chris W. Fagan on all socials. You can reach out to me there directly or at T3 Media Studios. Always holler at me. Appreciate you guys for helping us out. And I'm sorry about the choppiness of the stream.
Sorry, I'm trying to get something. Hello.
There you go. Yeah, go something.
Is it backwards? Is it reverse?
No. It's fine. It's fine. It's for it. It's fine. Ghost Hunting Beauties. So guys, if you want to reach out and see Ghost Hunting Beauties, there she is. Go check that out. And Miss Ty or Die herself. You insulted me when we first started the show. I shouldn't even let you give a shout out to yourself. But if people want to find you online, where can they? If people want to see you being a hater, where can they do that?
Right here on this podcast every Friday night, but also on Instagram at @tyrdie_.
she never fucking misses. Never misses. Fucking you damn level sevens. Anywho. All right, guys. That's the show. Appreciate you guys for helping us out and watching another episode of Talking Through the Medias After Dark. I'm Chris Fagan. And until next time, guys, peace and sayonara, motherfuckers. Later.
Remember to like this video, become a subscriber, and share. This really does help us out. If you would like to watch
she
more
like
of us,
signed
you
up
with Google Play click here or here. Thanks for watching. Ah, stop being NC-17.
Hey, get some.